This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Build your franchise around that guy.
Damn straight.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They ain't never seen this Cam.
Play action screen right. It's intercepted. Kenny Young.
You're going to stick with Cam next week?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Cam's our quarterback.
Earlier on the show, host of the Half Forgotten History podcast, Trey Wingo. From NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. ESPN host, Bomani Jones. Coming up, Golden Globe winning actor, Kevin Bacon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of our Friday show. This is going to be a fun romp. I'm not going to lie. I don't usually use the word romp quite a bit, but I just did. Because we have so many elements, TV term, that we have set up, also radio term, set up here on our simulcast here on this Friday. We've got a news update from Chris Brockman coming up. Fantasy leagues galore, in dire straits, either a final week of regular season like one of my leagues or playoffs already beginning like our fantasy league with the Alice in Chains charity league, where oh gosh, watching Cam Akers go off, we just didn't have the cojones to pull the trigger on somebody who was like questionable to go of short week. Yeah. And oh boy, if we had played
a guy on Thursday and it's a bust, you got to think about it all week.
So there's lots to talk about on that front. I want to get my update on Mike Davis to see if the Judah Maccabee of fantasy sports, whose fantasy value burns bright way past longer than you thought it would be. It's perfect timing of the miracle of Hanukkah. Night two of Hanukkah coming up tonight. Night one, we lit the candles last night, Chris.
You watched the Hanukkah song?
Susie grabs her laptop. I'm like, what are you doing? She popped the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song up there.
Well done.
They didn't know like who Rod Carew was.
Makes sense.
He converted. There were some pop culture references that went over the head of the 12, 9, and 7-year-old, but it was still delightful because Adam Sandler is just
right.
Just kids just find him so funny. Just looking at him.
I mean, they probably didn't know David Lee Roth.
All of it.
Or her. let's see.
Oh, none of them were born when that
Winona
song came
Ryder. Out. Winona Ryder.
They didn't know. They didn't get the pop culture references of the day, okay. But some of them they did, and it landed. By the way, they laughed their asses off. No question about it.
James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore, probably none of them.
None of them, but, you know, that Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock.
Yeah, both Jewish.
Like, that stuff made them laugh.
Not sure what the gin and tonic meant.
They do. Tell your friend Veronica.
No, mom does enjoy a gin and tonic every now and then at home, so they know what gin and tonic is, yes.
Right. Or that other thing that rhymes with harmonica that he says.
So they got it all. Kevin Bacon's going to be joining us in 17 minutes from now, for crying out loud. You know what he's here to talk about?
What's that?
He is co-hosting a one-hour concert special with Eve called Play On, Celebrating the Power of Music to Make Change. And it's next Tuesday, December 15th, 8 Eastern on CBS and CBS All Access. Going to raise money for two longstanding and vital philanthropic organizations, the NCAA Legal Defense and Educational Fund and Why Hunger. Okay. It's collected through the Play On Fund at 6degrees.org, which is his foundation, 6degrees. So that's coming up. People are going to be performing Bon Jovi, LL Cool J, Machine Gun Kelly, Snoop, Sheryl Crow, and more. So that's coming up. It also happens to be the 28th anniversary of A Few Good Men hitting theaters near you.
Love it.
28 years. That's a 28-year-old movie. Think about when we were kids, what a 28-year-old movie was. A 28-year-old, when I was Xander's age, age 12, okay, let's just make it easier. In between my two oldest, I was 11 years old in 1980. A 28-year-old movie in 1980 would be something made in 1952. I can't imagine. It just makes me feel so damn.
Yeah, I was just going to say
1950. Like,
think about
black
a 28-year-old movie when A Few Good Men came out. So 1964.
Right. Speaking of which, have you seen the other part of The Manchurian Candidate?
I have not.
Who watches an all-time classic movie, doesn't finish the end of it, and leaves it for months. It's been weeks.
All right, here's what came out in 1964.
No, I refuse to countenance this because you have not. All right, go ahead.
1964, the top grossing movie that year was Mary Poppins.
Oh, my God.
Made $31 million. My Fair Lady.
Great movie.
Goldfinger.
Sean Connery.
So basically, when you're saying when A Few Good Men came out.
A 28-year-old
28 years
movie.
Ago. A 28-year-old movie was yes. Goldfinger.
Yes. The Carpetbaggers. From Russia with Love. A Shot in the Dark. What a Way to Go. The Unsinkable Molly Brown. The Pink Panther and A Hard Day's Night.
The original Pink Panther.
The original Pink Panther.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow, I was right.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, Kevin Bacon's going to be joining us now in 15 minutes' time. Also today, it's our higher register day where we all come up with takes in which we have to go higher register to actually believe what we're saying. My three games under the radar in the National Football League for week number 14. My unluckiest lock of the week where I'm hooked on a feeling of an upset. Don't take it to the bank. But what you can take to the bank, rather than hopefully less in your bank, is Chris Brockman's three sneaky good games, choosing to place your hard-earned American dollars where his.
I'm sad to report on that front. I am now a coin flip.
50.
Are you right there at a coin flip?
I am 18-2.
Oh,
so
boy.
I should flip a coin.
No, you shouldn't because you can't flip a coin. Yeah. You actually toss it in the air and slap it down on the ground. Like you are
Matumbo.
Absolutely out of your mind.
No, no, no.
Okay, so, and then our poll question is, which sports heist was the worst robbery of all time, essentially, yeah. Here on the 42nd
anniversary
of
the actual
Lufthansa heist.
Lufthansa heist, yeah.
At old Idlewild Airport, right? It was before they called it JFK,
yep.
Right?
Idlewild. Oh, it wasn't JFK
no.
yet?
Yeah, No. Yep. JFK wasn't even president yet.
Mike, 1970, 80, yeah, he'd been dead 15 years.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of 50 M. I was going back. You guys got me all
Mike,
years.
Play the Pat Sajak.
Yeah,
all right, at any rate, who's winning the poll right now?
Winning the poll right now is...
Is it Bobby Bo?
Yeah, Bobby Bo is up big on that. 48% Bobby Bo, 31% Albert Hainsworth. 12% Gilbert Arenas and 9% Mike Hampton.
I think we do need to post the caller from Baltimore who pounded the table for us leaving out Chris Davis of the Orioles. Let's post that on our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show later on. But Monty Jones was here in hour number two, said we left off Frank McCourt, who bought the Dodgers with hardly any of his own money, ended up selling it for $1 billion and held it on the parking lot that he still owns today.
He owns 50% of the parking lot.
Well, owns the other 50%? Owns the other 50%?
Yeah, I just looked it up. Frank McCourt himself owns
16,000 spots.
And there's 16,000 spots.
At about concerts, it's 50 bucks.
Can't even imagine. You got your news update over there, Chris?
I have some injury updates.
Great. Let's get some injury updates. This is of great importance here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Hi, Christopher. What do you have over there?
All right, Rich, this is just for you. So Christian McCaffrey, he's doubtful to play now against the Broncos on Sunday.
Whew.
Matt Rhule said he doesn't expect him to play against Denver.
So that's Mike Davis.
Mike Davis will ride again.
Honestly, Mike Davis, whose fantasy value burns longer than the oil that brought you the miracle of Hanukkah. It's unbelievable. He might last to Festivus.
Oh.
We can't have that.
He might last to Festivus.
Well, Festivus would be week 16.
Yeah, Festivus is...
Festivus for the rest of us!
It's December 23rd. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we need McCaffrey next week.
Knocks him out for much of the first half of the season. He returns for one dynamite game against Kansas City. Oh. Then he hurts his shoulder in that game against Kansas City and is out until the bye week when we figure he's going to be through the shoulder, and he is, and then he hurts his quad. Oh. Wow.
Wow.
First overall pick in everyone's fantasy draft.
No doubt.
Second overall pick was Saquon.
No doubt.
Third overall pick in many people's draft was Zeke. What an absolute total disaster at the top of the fantasy drafts this year. Total complete disaster.
Yeah. I had a team in my league that had Saquon and McCaffrey.
How does that happen?
And then think about Michael Thomas, too, if you took him early.
That's right.
In the first round.
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
You said, how's it happen? We're in auction league.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got it.
Yeah, so you can buy the players.
Understood. Very well. Yeah. I'm just a snake draft guy.
All right, Daniel Jones practiced a little bit. He's questionable. I would expect him to go.
Well, I hope so because, you know, that would be a great game with Kyler Murray and him.
I think so.
And I'll hit that a little bit later in this hour. Go ahead, Chris.
For the Vikings, Kyle Rudolph, doubtful. Irv Smith, questionable for the tight end position. They're down in Tampa. That's a big game. A.J. Brown returned to practice today, so that's good news for Tennessee. Antonio Gibson did not practice, not expected to play Sunday. Todd Gurley, however, will play. Not on the injury report.
Okay, here in Los Angeles.
They're playing the Chargers. Julio Jones, however, out. Mm. Not playing this
weekend.
Already
ruled out on Friday.
Mike Evans is expected to play.
By the way, he had a hamstring issue pop up during the bye week.
Yeah.
But he's expected to go, though.
He's expected to go, yeah. Bruce Arians expects him to play. Curtis Samuel off the COVID-19 list for the Panthers. That's good news there. David Johnson has a personal issue and could possibly miss week 14. That's a big game for Deshaun Watson. I'll hit on that later. They're playing the Bears. Let's see. Jameson Crowder is questionable.
Mims of the Jets is not going to be playing because he had to go home to deal with a family emergency and thus wouldn't pass the protocol in time to get on the field.
And DeAndre Swift trending toward playing, says Daryl Bevel.
By the way, I almost traded Josh Allen for DeAndre Swift.
No, you didn't.
Well, you were trying to unload Allen.
I know.
Kyler
Murray, and Allen is now my starter. I'm starting Allen every single week right now, man.
Salvan Ahmed,
even against Pittsburgh. Even against Pittsburgh.
Probably the way, right way of the world.
I mean, I think Josh Allen.
How great did he look last week?
Josh Allen.
Standing tall in
that
pocket.
This is his best game.
Standing tall and making accurate dart throws, touch throws.
Big dude.
Big dude. And against Ben Roth. That's what I love about this game. We talked about that with Kyle Brandt earlier this week. Is he a younger version, 21st century, even though Ben's played his whole career in the 21st century? But this decade's version of Ben. Big, tall, big-armed guy who can get out of the pocket. He's faster than Ben ever was.
Yeah.
But when you hit him, the play might just begin. That's what Ben's quality has been. That's what's taken Ben to the hall. Is where hitting a quarterback would wrap up the play for him. It just starts it. Like, okay, you hit me. Now let's go. Now let's go. And one versus three. Is James Conner going to be back for this one? Do we know that?
James Conner is back. He's
okay, because that's huge. Because Ben can't throw it 52 times Sunday night. He can't throw it 50 times. You cannot go to Buffalo at night in December and throw it 50 times. You just can't.
Josh Jacobs got in a limited session yesterday in practice.
News.
That's big news. And Larry Fitzgerald's going to play this weekend as well. He had come off the COVID list.
Yeah, I know. Saying it was no joke for him.
No joke, yeah. Mentioned yesterday. Still doesn't have taste or smell. Dropped 9 pounds.
They missed him in that offense, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they missed him. They missed him.
They missed him.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Kyler, something's up. But I know all three of us can attest. We need a big DeAndre Hopkins game this weekend, boys.
Absolutely.
All three of us have him, right?
All three of us have him.
Against the Giants. Don, you got the three games under the radar for week 14? Go ahead and hit it, please. Go ahead and hit it. Mike Del Tufo, can you give me my NFL Films music? Here are the three games under the radar for week number 14 in the National Football League, and I start in Cincinnati. Now, you might think, Cowboys and Bengals, why are you talking about this, Rich? Well, first of all, it's under the radar. Secondly, the reason why it's under the radar is not because of one thing that could have put it on the radar a little bit is the old revenge game, Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. This will be, you know, interest. Well, I don't know. Is Marvin Lewis going to come out and help flip the coin for this one? I have no idea. Probably not. But you know why I'm talking about this right now? Because as we're all focused on the first overall selection, you know what's at stake in this one? The third overall pick in the draft.
Oh.
Yes, yes. If the Bengals happen to win this one, guess who's the third overall pick in the draft? Your Dallas Cowboys. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. These teams are just separated by a half game right now. Can't believe I'm saying these things.
You can't.
But that's big, man. And you can see your laugh all you want. But when it comes down to picking next April, and you're fourth and the other team's choosing third, you're going to wish your team lost this football game.
Oh, yeah. Because that is Penei Sewell from Oregon. That is the offensive lineman. Both teams need him.
Oh, and there'll be some defensive player we're not talking about, you say.
Probably.
That's what we're talking about. That's a big game. And I would say to everybody out there, lose it. I'm telling you.
Just lose it.
Just lose it, baby. Just lose it. Next one. Arizona and the Giants. Arizona and the Giants. I mentioned this just yesterday. Normally when two quarterbacks are chosen atop the draft, whether it's 1-2, obviously, that's for sure. But 1-6 for sure as well. We will remember the top two quarterbacks in a draft class. And this is that game. I'm hoping Daniel Jones is healthy. Because after Kyler Murray was selected first overall in Tennessee 2 years ago, Daniel Jones, as we know, was pick 6 for the Giants, creating such a furor and hoo-ha. Would it be something if Daniel Jones comes back from injury, wins this game to send the Giants to 6-7 and keep them atop their division lead with 3 games to go? Wouldn't that be something? And guess what Arizona needs to do? Win this football game in a big, bad way. Because that 7 seed is disappearing fast from their radar screen. They're sitting right there right now in a tie with Minnesota, and I know Minnesota's in Tampa, and that's one of the reasons these games are under the radar. But Arizona needs to win football games, certainly since they have not won since the Hail Murray. And without that Hail Murray, they would not have been winning. They'd be on a 5-game losing streak right now. They need it. And then the last game, sitting right there in Los Angeles, up the road from us. Again, nobody's really talking Atlanta versus the Chargers because both of those teams are essentially out of the running. But Raheem Morris is in the running for being the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. They got to win football games for him if they want him to be the coach. And if he wants to be the coach, they need to win football games like this one. Certainly since the Chargers are coming off of that 45-0 loss. And I'll tell you what, if the Chargers want Anthony Lynn as their coach, if they respect him and like him and want him to stick around, they better beat the crap out of the Atlanta Falcons and start winning football games from here on out. It is that time, because after 45-0, that makes owners go, what's going on the field right there? What is going on? Why was Justin Herbert on the field with 2 minutes to go down 45-0? I don't care that he said my teammates are on the field. I don't want to come off the field. You take him off the field, coach. Do you know what's going on in your locker room? Do you have your finger on the pulse? These are questions that begin to creep in, certainly if ownership starts listening to radio and television shows and what have you. They got to win this one. Again, not much at stake, if you will, draft-wise or anything else, but for Coach Lynn, hey, Chargers, you want this guy to still be your coach, 45-0 puts him directly on a hot seat and losing to an Atlanta team that has performed very well for the most part since firing their coach and hooking up with Raheem Morris. You need to win this game. That's my 3 under the radar for Week 14 here on the Rich Eisen Show. Still to come, our higher register. Also, sneaky good games. Chris Brockman will give you his gambling advice, be that as it may. And also, my unlockiest lock of the week. But coming up next, Kevin Bacon, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. This will be a lot of fun. 844-204-RICH. We will also empty the phone banks before the end of this hour. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Lace up your boots. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now, exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all 3 seasons of Yellowstone right now. God, I love it. love hitting the sting. I just really, I don't know what it is. It just, it's my version of like the 4 minute mile. You know what I mean? I can't run it. I'll never be able to run it. But one thing I can do is read the snot out of copy and hit a music sting. And I am very proud of that fact. And I do not care who knows it. God, I love doing that.
It's fun fading too. You know, you kind of ramp up.
You know what,
little.
Mike? I don't care.
Mike, it's not about you.
Remember, it's a two-person operation.
You set yourself up, and I do love you, and I shouldn't treat you like that.
Nobody cares about you.
That's right. Who said that? Yeah. It was Oliphant, right?
Oliphant.
Timothy
Oliphant said that. Nobody cares about
it. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio partners and right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Love having this guy on. This is one of I've lost track of his appearances here in person as well as on the phone. And he is co-hosting a one-hour concert special with Eve called Play On, Celebrating the Power of Music to Make Change. That's going to be on Tuesday, December 15th at 8 Eastern Time on CBS and CBS All Access, raising money for two longstanding vital philanthropic organizations, one being the NCAA Legal Defense and Educational Fund and Why Hunger, all collected through the Play On Fund at 6degrees.org, which is funded by our next guest, Kevin Bacon. How are you, sir?
It was really fun to hear you guys riffing before I got on here.
Okay,
I always get a kick out of that.
Well, I do read copy for a living and hit music stings for a living, and I take pride in that, Kevin. You know, I take pride in my work.
You should.
Thank you.
You should, my man.
Thank
it's
you.
Good. It's good to know. It's good to know your strengths. You know.
Yeah, I can hit the post too. If I you know ramp up for music, I can hit a post too. You know, I can do that, but it's the sting that really gets me. I'll be honest, Kevin.
Listen, yeah, I think we need these skills. We need these skills. It's a dying art. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. So walk me through this concert and how it came about and why you're doing it. I'll give you the floor.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Well, there was a great group of folks, including John Varvatos, who were doing a yearly charity live show at the Beacon Theater in New York called Love Rocks. And I'd played there with my band, and I'd also been there subsequent years. And they got together and started thinking about, during the pandemic, about doing something else for charity that would be on television with live music. And John and our other partners are all big fans of music and all kinds of music. And so they asked me to come on board, and we started talking, and this was, I think, in March, about doing some kind of a show. We knew that we wanted to do something around hunger. It was going to be really clear, looking at the situation economically in the country, that that was going to become an issue that was going to become more and more important, mm-hmm. and also social justice. And so we started to talk about what the show could be. And, you know, at that point, there were people that were doing some music shows. A lot of them were, I'm in my living room with an acoustic guitar, and it was incredibly heartwarming, but we wanted to have something that was a little bit more of a live kind of feel. All of us being fans of live music and of some of these iconic venues that we ended up focusing on. And it's been a long road, but we put together an amazing group of artists pretty much across the boards of musical genres. I mean, we have hip hop, we've got rap, we've got rock, we've got power punk, we've got soul music, we've got, I mean, the only thing, reggae, I mean, the only thing I thought maybe we didn't have was jazz, and then I realized that John Batiste does this very jazzy solo during a rendition of People Get Ready. And so I think if you like music, I think it's going to be a really exciting show.
Yeah, Bon Jovi, LL Cool J, Machine Gun Kelly, Snoop, Sheryl Crow, and more from places like the Troubadour here in L.A., the Apollo Theater in New York, Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. It's Play On, Celebrating the Power of Music to Make Change, Tuesday, December 15th. Kevin Bacon here on the Rich Eisen show. Which one of these folks do you know personally? Let's drop names. Is Bon Jovi? It's Bon Jovi, isn't it?
I do. I do know John. Okay. Yeah. In fact, John, he's the one. He's the one. You probably lined this up in terms of our era. But years ago, John was doing a solo album called Destination Anywhere, and he was shooting this kind of long form video. It's almost like a little mini movie. And he asked me to act in it, and I did. And so we've known each other for a long time.
Okay, so which musicians you've ever been around with the best acting chops then, Kevin? Which one do you think crossed over?
I think that Will Smith, he's done some acting in his life.
Yes.
Jamie Foxx is another one. Just, you know, incredible. You know, Harry Connick Jr., John's done some acting. I mean, there's a lot of them. You know, listen, I play in a band, so I can't fault anybody for wanting to cross over. So, you know what I mean? That would just be setting me, you know, up for a fall. I do think that, and we may have talked about this before, is that I think most people are more supportive of musicians who want to act than they are of actors who want to play music. And I think the reason is that most people look at actors and they think that what we do is probably pretty easy. You know, it's kind of like, listen, you know, if I would look like Brad Pitt, I would be an actor too. right. But when it comes to music, everybody's picked up an instrument and sat there and tried to figure out how to, you know, play a guitar or violin or whatever. And you realize that it's hard, that you got to really work really hard at learning how to do it. And it doesn't really come that easy. So I think that we also put musicians on such a pedestal in our society, you know, and I think that, so I think there's a certain amount of resentment about that crossover thing.
Kevin Bacon here on the Rich Eisen Show, and this is my own pop culture filled brain at work here, Kevin. You mentioned Harry Connick Jr. If I'm not mistaken, Harry Connick Sr. defeated Jim Garrison, the real Jim Garrison in real life, for in the city of New Orleans, for I guess the lead attorney. And Garrison, if I'm not mistaken, was the guy who was prosecuting the case in JFK. Am I not mistaken? Did I just do a whole 6 degrees with Harry Connick Jr. with you, Kevin Bacon? Did I just do that?
That is a pretty wild 6 degrees. And I have to tell you that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sure. Jim Garrison was the Kevin Costner. Speaking of Kevin's, the Kevin Costner character in the movie JFK. I had no idea about Harry Connick Sr. That's complete news to me.
So I just connected.
That's super cool.
Yes, I just connected Harry Connick Jr. with you through JFK. That I just did it. I don't know. I feel
that's
like I
good,
just hit
man.
The. I feel like I just hit the sting here with you.
That was
Kevin.
That was super impressive.
Why? Thank you. I don't know if you're aware. You are joining me here, Kevin Bacon, on the 28th anniversary of A Few Good Men hitting theaters near you. Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
20,
but.
Eight years.
Wow. Amazing.
What was that like the first time you got involved with that film? I know we've talked about it before, but never on an actual anniversary of the date. I'd love to hit
it. Oh, yeah.
What was that
it
like?
It was a great thing. You know, Rob Reiner, who I was a big fan of, I would say that Spinal Tap is pretty much my favorite movie ever. he came to me and... He actually, there was another part that I was kind of more interested in. And my wife said, don't be an idiot. You got to play that character of Jack. She definitely steered me away. It was more of like, there was another kind of bad guy part that I was more interested in.
Which one? Was it the key? Was it the Kiefer Sutherland part?
I guess it must've been the part that Kiefer did. Yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up doing Jack, and I was really glad that I did. I think she was right about that. You know, I'm so often kind of drawn to darker, edgier things, but it was great. You know, Aaron Sorkin's script just sang, and you know, to be with Tom and to me and to be working with Nicholson, who just was such an influence on me. You know, I was thinking the other day that to me, in a lot of ways, he was one of the first actors that had this kind of attitude where he didn't really give a shit what you thought about him. You know, he was never really trying to be likable. When you look at things like Five Easy Pieces and The Last Detail and an Easy Rider, you know, he never tried to be attractive or cute. I mean, in Chinatown, you know, he's got a giant bandage on his nose mm-hmm. for, you know, probably 45% of the movie. And, you know, it's like that to me was that lack of vanity and commitment to the individual roles is something that I've always tried to hold dear to my heart. And watching him do that speech time after time during that shooting day, it was cool to be with Jack.
Now, I know, again, you've told the story before, but just for the purposes of retelling it in this space here, Jack did the scene over and over again. You were for his shot, but also on occasion for your shot and also for everyone else's shot. And Kevin Pollak sat in every now and then, too, I guess, is what he told us as well to imitate him.
Because the deal is that, you know, you have to shoot in one direction.
Right.
That's where all the lighting is going. So obviously with a scene like that, you want to shoot him earlier in the day, but there's a wide one and there's a tighter one and there's a tighter one. And so he'd done the scene, a lot of times and just, you know, knocked it out of the park every single time. And then we had to turn the cameras around and you had to do the coverage of me reacting, Tom reacting to me reacting, Kev reacting, you know, all of us, you know, and he just kept delivering it, even though he was off camera. And I remember his uniform was getting kind of, you know, his jacket was open at that point. His hair was messed up and stuff because he wasn't, you know, on camera anymore. But he just crushed it. And I thought to myself, not only is he a great actor, but that kind of professionalism, that kind of generosity from one actor to the rest of the cast is something that I took to heart.
And it's interesting when you were just telling Kevin Bacon here on the show, when you were just talking about Nicholson and his appearance. Right. And I remember when Terms of Endearment came out that he playing a middle-aged man with a little bit of a pot belly was a shocker to so many people because of who he was in the 70s and how he kind of began to trade on his own age, and his aging was in itself a remarkable performance. I remember that about that movie.
Well, he's a perfect example of the fact that, you know, one of the things, if you're able to do it right as an actor, the fact that you age can be a real bonus because you get to play different and new things, and you get to walk in the shoes of a man that's at a different part of his life than he was when you were in your 20s. And he's really done that gracefully and not been ashamed of it or afraid of it. And I agree with you that in Terms of Endearment, there was a lot of shock, but for me, it was just admiration. I was just, wow, you know, he just does it.
So before I let you go, I ask this of you, I seem every time, City on a Hill, are we doing this again, or where are we?
I'm in the middle of this. Yeah, I'm in the middle of the season. Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
We got shut down after our second episode in March. We finally, I guess about a month or two ago, got back up and running, and we are shooting, and dog willing, we will make it to the end of the season. And I'm really excited about this season. I think the writing is excellent. We have some new cast members who are great. And you know, Aldous Hodge is here with me again, I love this character, and they give me great stuff to play. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you what, it certainly definitely lends credence to your statement earlier in this conversation, Kevin Bacon, that you're drawn to dark characters. My God.
Yeah, he's pretty dark.
Oh, my gosh. you're plumbing the depths of your character on this show.
Yeah.
And it's dynamite. Is Tucker back, too? Is he back in the mix?
No, Tucker's not. No, Tucker's not back this season.
All right. Well, if he
unfortunately,
was,
because I'm crazy about him, and but we're still in touch.
Oh, it's too bad. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, then. If you speak to him before I do, ask him how the Red Sox season went. Ask him how that went and how his Pats are doing. Go for it. Do that for me, will you? Do that. Because when he came here years ago because, you know, this show was born on DirecTV, and Kingdom was a dynamite show in which he dominated every scene in that show that he was in. So he came in here and he took a video of him taking a Yankee hat that I had in my office and putting it in the toilet. That actually happened, Kevin, which is not acceptable.
Intense dude. He's a pretty intense dude, but I'm not surprised about that.
Right, exactly.
Man, that's cold. Well, you know, I can tell you if I can make a quick sports reference,
please,
to it relates to play on. You know, when I heard about the NBA playing in the bubble, I thought to myself, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this, you know, without a home court advantage with, you know, little Zoom images up on the wall and no fans there. And I found the season really infectiously fun. And I think the reason was that you see these men that are so good at what they do and they love doing it. And the enthusiasm that I felt from them to play these games I just got completely wrapped up in it in a really pretty fun and intense way. And that is what I see when I watch our show, because musicians spend their whole life like basketball players practicing and getting good and, you know, getting their chops up and being able to play with each other. And both of these are things that are not so much fun to do all by yourself.
Right.
And when you look at Play On, you'll see that same kind of infectious groove going on between the players. So I hope people enjoy it.
Well, it's not just that too, Kevin. It's also playing in front of a crowd and also getting the energy from the crowd and sending it back into the crowd. And it's sort of a symbiotic relationship that you see with athletes in the crowd and obviously musicians with the crowd. All you need to do is just go to one Bon Jovi concert, one Springsteen concert, and you see that at work. I could name, obviously, you know, hundreds of acts for that. And the fact that, again, that we saw, and we see these athletes still in empty stadiums go through this, and it means just as much to them as when there were 100,000 people in the stands or what have you, it is infectious. You do feel that in the couch, and you can forget the fact that there is no fans in the stands and kind of get lost in all of it, which is what we need to do these days.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep, absolutely.
So, and yeah. I look forward to Play On, celebrating the power of music to make change. Again, that's Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, with Eve and Kevin Bacon on CBS and CBS All Access. And go check out 6degrees.org for the nonprofit organization that is going to be also at the center of all this. Thank you for the call, Kevin. I truly appreciate our conversations. Thank you.
It's always great to talk to you, Rich.
Right back at you. You take care. That's Kevin Bacon, at Kevin Bacon on both Twitter and Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Can I just read off a few? From 1980 to 1995.
Okay.
These are not all of them. Well, let's start from 1978. Animal House, Friday the 13th, Diner, Footloose, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Flatliners, Tremors, JFK, A Few Good Men, Apollo 13.
I mean, you're done. You don't even need anything else.
This is pretty good.
I'm telling you, Sitting on a Hill, it's on Showtime, it's dynamite.
Yeah, it's awesome,
it was the first season. I'd be like, oh, I want more.
Yeah, it's good.
The fact that Tucker's not in it. Yeah. He's such a lunatic.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Correct.
He's a lunatic, Jonathan Tucker. Yeah, all right, we'll take a break, empty the phone banks, and get you set for the rest of your sports weekend, including the rest of Week 14. And higher register, everybody. Ooh. That's coming up. Our Friday fun. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. All right, everybody. 844-204-RICH. You're on hold. Stay on hold. We are about to empty the old phone banks. Could Kevin Bacon just be one of the coolest guys around, or what do you think?
No
doubt. Just that you'd want to just hang with him and just pick his brain. And
just on of guests that we've just had in here, it's like Bacon and Oliphant, or like 1 and 1A.
Right.
Just depends on the day.
Like two dudes that are just...
just two of the coolest guys you've ever met.
And McConaughey. Matthew.
That's true. No, that's true.
You got to put him up there.
Only one of them made fun of the way that I held my hand when mimicking a forehand.
But that was because Tim played college tennis or something?
But I also, now I know, that was at the outset of me taking tennis lessons. I know I'm supposed to brush the ball. Like, I would make, when making a movement with a forehand now, I wouldn't go like this, like I'm slapping a wall. I would definitely make the movement that I have learned to make. So I've improved.
You didn't see Fletch?
I got to get him back. Get Oliphant back in here.
Life is about improvement,
what I'm saying.
Rich. Get him back. What if we film a match against you two?
I wouldn't want that. Back here in the
Mike
Rich Eisen
and I
show.
Do the commentary.
Oh, this would be perfect.
Meet with a Timothy Oliphant on a tennis court?
Yeah.
I bet you he'd kick my ass.
6-0, 6-0.
My problem here, what's going on with my tennis game right now, you ask?
You didn't. Indirectly, that's
yes.
what I was asking.
No, you're not.
We want to
but
know.
What I can hit a forehand and I can hit a backhand. I can hit them when you're feeding me the ball. But when they're hit at my feet or with any sort of spin, it's just like, what is this object coming at me and how does it bounce?
How's
it's
the
not
serve?
Good. But I'm trying.
All the matters.
Moving around.
All the matters.
How's the plantar fasciitis?
Exactly. By the way,
how's,
it's great.
How's the
Thank
fascia?
You. That's great. And I didn't have to roll it on a baseball like you told
me.
Well,
we would
have
been better 8 months ago.
I'd be like Kevin Durant in a walking boot for 19 months. I'd listen to you.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Let's go to Tyler in Los Angeles. Been hanging on for almost 2 hours. Thanks for hanging on, Tyler. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
I got a comment and a question.
Okay.
My comment is, I also say Reese's Pieces, so good for TJ. Stick with that.
Well, by the way, it just shows you how long he's been holding on. He was listening to you say the words Reese's Pieces before we welcomed in Trey Wingo, our first hour guest, and Trey made merciless fun of you on the spot.
I mean,
so you and Tyler. Okay, Tyler.
Appreciate you, Tyler.
So are you saying you're just the same amount of weirdo as TJ Jefferson is?
And there ain't nothing wrong with that, baby.
What else
no,
you got?
Me and my friends, it's a thing.
Okay.
There are others out there.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, bro. I knew I wasn't alone.
It's like X-Files. There is life out there.
But
what
are
else?
You originally from Los Angeles? Like, where are you originally from? Is that a region of the country thing?
Where are you from?
I'm from Washington State.
Okay. All right. Couldn't be further away from Altoona.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind?
My question is, for this Sunday, can my Seahawks finally expect a nice, comfortable blowout? Or even with the Jets, are they going to make it heartachingly close?
Oh, Tyler, I can't believe you hung on for 2 hours to ask me if you think the Seahawks are going to blow the Jets out. Oh, my gosh. The answer is yes. Get a rocking chair. Get a cigar. Whatever you've been waiting to crack open in your fridge, crack it open. Enjoy life. Explore the studio space. You're not going to get, enjoy the cowbell. Enjoy it.
That's all I want to hear.
Thank you. Enjoy the weekend. Oh, my God. Jamal Adams is going to make it his personal mission. And like I said, I'll remind everybody here. And it bears reminding as we're 14 minutes from sending you into your week 14 weekend. The Jets absolutely need to lose every game from here on out. Focus.
Eyes on the prize.
The only problem with firing Greg Williams is that he won't be there to send to talk to DK Metcalf before the game. What a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity for the Jets. Hey, Greg, want to say something to DK? Go ahead. You coordinate against Megatron. He loves talking about it. Go up. Go on. Talk to him. You have the floor. Go on up. Mask up. Make sure you're safe. But go. You must have a piece of your mind you want to give to DK Metcalf. That's unfortunately gone.
Yeah. Bummer. Missed opportunity.
Don't worry. They're going to blow him out. Raise a glass to, again, when we are in the Canyon of Heroes. As the song from the hit musical Hamilton goes, raise a glass to Williams. That's the story of tonight. That's the story of tonight when they are picking confetti out of the Canyon of Heroes out of the hair of
the mane of
Trevor Lawrence as he goes home to the beautiful gravy boat that I'm choosing off of his wedding registry that Dabo Swinney told me he's getting married. Raise a glass to Williams, the story of tonight, when it was all looking bleak, when the Redcoats were on the verge of taking Trevor Lawrence from us. We saw the whites of Greg Williams' eyes. Yes, we did. Blitz 8, raise a glass to Williams.
Send him.
That's the story.
Fire.
When it all looked bleak, this parade brought to you by Greg. Okay, we ready to go higher register here on the Rich Eisen Show? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go higher.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
Okay, Chris, you got one?
Yeah, I got one. So we've been talking a lot this week about the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
And I think rightfully so. Josh Allen coming off the best game of his career. I think we can agree that against San Francisco. And they have a pretty big game this weekend against Pittsburgh. So I'm going to say the Bills win this weekend. I think they're going to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Yeah? If they win this weekend?
I think if they beat Pittsburgh, prove to everybody who they are, go to 10-3.
I don't know.
I think they're going to the AFC. They might even host the AFC Championship.
Wow. Don't forget, though, it's entirely possible. If you don't mind me matching your higher register for higher register in response, it's not my actual higher register. Don't forget, Bill's first round game might be against the Browns.
Oh.
Don't sleep on the Cleveland Browns.
True. I mean, I nailed that last week.
That would be the Don Kricke game of all Don Kricke playoff games. Gotta get him to call Browns and Bills. What do you got over there, TJ Jefferson? What's your higher register?
Well, guys, we watched the Rams Pats last night.
We did.
And, you know, fantasy wise, I had a little bit of skin in the game, as Rich likes to say. Started the Rams defense. Just wanted to throw that out there. I thank them for the 26 points they gave me.
Damn.
But after watching the Rams last night, and I realized it was against the Patriots. The offense hasn't been so great for the Pats despite that 45 point game the week before. You know, over the last seven, Rams are 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
They've only given up 81 yards per game rushing, only 184 by air, and they've given up 17 points per game. They looked great last night. They looked great. The defense looked incredible. Aaron Donald is a GAM, a grown-ass man.
Yes.
Jalen Ramsey is locking everything down if you're going to put the ball in the air. And it kind of made me think. And once I saw Cam Akers rush for 171 yards, I was convinced.
It's quite the setup.
I was convinced. I think maybe the Rams might be the NFC favorites right now.
Ooh. Welcome to the party,
maybe,
pal.
Maybe the Rams might they might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, guys.
They're a 9-4 team. That's you're looking at a 10-win team because the Jets are coming in next.
Yes, and they've got the Jets at Seattle and back home against Arizona. They could finish 12-4.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
I have been all over the map on the Baltimore Ravens, came into the season saying that they were going to win the entire AFC, and through the first half of the season, I stuck with it, and then we got to Thanksgiving Day, and I had a mulligan, and I got off the Ravens, and then when it was time for we talking playoffs or what, after week 12, I got off the Ravens entirely and say that they are an or what team right now. But after what I saw against the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll need to see this against the Cleveland Browns, but Lamar Jackson, two in the air, one by ground. Here we go. Dez is apparently COVID negative. We'll see him. Mark Andrews is back. All three running backs are back. We'll get Judon back on the field. They will be reconstituted. They do have the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals, as well as the Giants, the rest of the way after this one. So I am now back somewhat with the Baltimore Ravens.
We talking playoffs?
What we're talking about is just this. Maybe they're not really out of the mix after all. Maybe they can make a run.
He's back.
It's all said and done.
Hey.
Maybe they can make a run.
Why not?
That's what I'm saying about the Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
That's our higher register. Hey. I've been all over the map with them. Okay, you got a sneaky good games over there, Chris Brock?
I got sneaky
Let's
good games.
Let's hit it, please. Let's go for it.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Chris, let's whip through.
All right, people, I'm a coin flip right now, but I'm going 3-0 this week. I really feel it. First up, give me the Texans, -1.5 in Chicago. This is a Deshaun Watson revenge circle on the calendar game for the Bears for not taking him. He's going to go nuts. I also have him in fantasy, so I need it. Give me the Saints, -6.5.
Okay.
I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. I don't believe he's going to do it against this defense. It's a really tough game for his first career start.
Okay.
Eagles injury issues on the offensive line. I think the Saints win pretty easily. And I'm going to double down on my Bills pick. I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh by at least a field goal. Bills -2 on Sunday Night Football.
And you like Houston and Chicago.
I like Houston.
Can you believe that if Houston goes and beats Chicago and they go from 5-1 to 5-8,
That's a wrap.
And Houston has the same record, and they fired their coach. And Deshaun Watson in that town, the other quarterback that they didn't choose for Trubisky. Oh, my gosh. That will turn the heat up, man. Okay, let's take one more quick phone call here. Tim in Toledo, Ohio, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on, sir?
If you remember, 18 months ago, we started playing the Heartlight, ET, Phone Home, Foreplay, In the Hunt, Cleveland Browns, Baker. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
We had a lot of fun.
I do. Turn on your Heartlight. Exactly.
Absolutely. This call has no purpose other than to say...
The Heartlight's turned on, isn't it? Your Heartlight's turned on.
Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the Heartlight.
Yes, you are welcome. It's like you and I... It's almost like you and I, Tim... We're on a bicycle riding for the moon together, don't you think? I might have been in the basket,
I'm in the basket.
You're in the basket.
I'm in the basket, okay. and you're chugging away at the pedals.
Okay.
I did it.
We were together, and look at you now. Look at you now at 9-3.
I've come back to you, and you've had such a great show, Rich, because you complained about when I said you had a good show, like I was, you know, giving you some BS. But you're giving back to your guests.
You.
I mean, look what you did. You gave somebody a story about an hour ago. To write about it.
I'm a giver.
You're just an all-around unbelievable individual.
I've got a Heartlight. Thank you for the call. Have a good weekend, sir. Let's call back when we've got a little bit more time and the Browns are 10-3. How about that? That means we will talk to him on Tuesday. By the way, we got Joe Thomas booked for next Tuesday.
All right.
After that game, we've also got Brian Greasy, who's calling that game on Monday Night Football, booked for next Wednesday. Because I have a feeling I'm going to need a little bit of memory lane fun for the Wolverines at that time. I want to thank today's guests, Trey Wingo, and also Bomani Jones, Tom Curran, and Kevin Bacon. Unlock his lock of the week going out the door. Let's hit it, please. Go for it, please.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open. The unlockiest lock of the week.
This might be the unlockiest of all the locks of the week. Because deep down, I don't know if it's really going to happen. But there's just part of me. There's just part of me that the kid with the it factor and the coach who brings that whole Patriots mindset that once upon a time used to be a problem for this coach. And things go nutty when you go down to see them in December. I think in Miami, the Dolphins take out the Chiefs in week 4.
Oh!
Unluckiest lock of the week.
Wow.
Take that to no bank. Take that to no bank. There's not
a
bank.
You dig it.
No, I don't. Just telling you, a little part of me.
Can you dig it?
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back to send you to Brother from Another on Peacock. But on radio, we'll see you on Monday. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.